All right, good morning. My name is Daniel Robertson, and I'm an assistant professor at the University of Idaho, and I'm a mechanical engineer. So my background is actually in human biomechanics. I spent a lot of time designing orthopedic devices and understanding material response of things like ligaments and tendons. And now I've moved on and started looking at corn and sorghum and plants because I think they have some really interesting mechanics, and stock lodging is a major problem. For most people that are growing corn and sorghum and a lot of the other small grains. And so I've kind of spent the last 4 years analyzing that problem of stock lodging and trying to get a full understanding of what causes lodging, where does stock strength originate from, what affects stock strength. And that's kind of culminated in the creation of a device that we can actually take out in the field and correctly measure lodging propensity and stock strength. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about today. I'd also like, before I get started too far in the presentation, like to recognize my co-authors, both Witold and Douglas. I think Douglas is here in the audience with us today. And before I jump too far ahead and start talking about this specific device, I want to talk a little bit about how we approach problems in the field of agronomy in general and in plant breeding. Because what I've seen is that engineers and plant breeders, we look at things very differently. We approach problems very differently. And because we approach the problem differently, we often are led to different solutions. And so I'm going to throw these two words out here, and these are very stereotypical. But what I've seen is that if you give a problem to a plant breeder, they'll almost immediately begin talking to you about experiments and about replications and multiple years and the importance of good experimental methods and the proper statistics to use to analyze that experiment. If you give the exact same problem to an engineer, they'll almost immediately talk to you about math. And they'll talk to you about calculus and modeling and physics and theories. And so I want to say there's two ways to approach this problem of stock lodging. One is from a trial and error approach that's largely based on experiments, and one is an algorithmic approach, which is largely based on math and physics. And there's advantages and disadvantages to both of these approaches. Both of these approaches are very valid approaches to solving a problem. They have different advantages and disadvantages. One thing that I love about experiments is that physics are free. What I mean by that is, as engineers, when we try to model a system, it's very expensive computationally to actually correctly simulate the physics that happen in the real world. In an experiment, it just happens for free. We don't have to try to figure out all the math behind it. So it takes us many years, oftentimes, to develop a physical understanding of a system before we can model it and begin to analyze it as engineers. And many people ask, well, why would you ever take an algorithmic approach to solving a problem then instead of trial and error if it's faster and easier to do trial and error? Well, I say, would you ever want to walk across the Golden Gate Bridge if it was designed by trial and error? How many thousands of people would we kill as engineers if we design things by trial and error? It's just not an option for us often, right? We can't design a spaceship by trial and error. We have to understand the physics first. So, being an engineer, working with a group of engineers, we took an algorithmic approach to the problem of stock lodging. So what does that look like? Well, the first thing we did was to do an observational study of stock lodging in the field. You know, the Wright brothers, the fathers of modern aviation, before they did their first manned flight at Kitty Hawk, they spent years looking at and analyzing birds to understand, how does a bird fly? How does it rise, or how does it dive? How does it turn left? How does it turn right? So basically, we went out and sat in cornfields and looked at lodge stocks, which sounds funny, but we actually got some really unique insights, I think, because what we found out is that all stocks break almost exactly the same way. We looked at three different continents, looked at all kinds of different varieties of grain corn, and what we found out is that all stocks, I mean, 95% of stocks break 3 to 4 centimeters above a node line, and they're all falling in the same anatomical direction, and they all have a failure pattern that looks like this, that has a crease there. Looking for here's my laser pointer. So uniformly, right, everywhere we've ever looked, corn stalks are failing the same way. So if you want to create a device to phenotype stalk strength and lodging propensity, you better make sure that whatever that device is, it's producing that failure pattern. Because if it's not, you're not phenotyping stock strength and lodging propensity, you're phenotyping something else. So the next step was to really understand all the physical mechanisms that contribute to stock strength. So we basically did a whole battery of mechanical tests in the lab, just about everything you can imagine we did to a corn stalk, right, with mechanical equipment. So we did three-point bending tests, we did four-point bending tests, we did cantilever bending tests, we did transverse compression tests, we did tests on nodal specimens, on internodal specimens, on whole stalk specimens, on tiny little pieces of stalks. We did longitudinal compression tests. We did bending tests, and we take a small section of that stalk, then we do a compression test on that section. We take an even smaller section. We take, you know, one or two little fibers, and we do tensile tests and compression tests on little fibers. And this work, I mean, is basically going on for the last 3 or 4 years, right? So when I say it takes a long time to solve a problem algorithmically, this is what I mean. You know, it's 3 or 4 years before we really got a device out there that was working. Because first we had to understand the physics. We also did some very detailed CT analysis. So computed tomography, we went all the way down to the 16 micron level. So had a very detailed understanding of how does the geometry of the stalk change, both longitudinally and transversely through the stalk. How does the density of the tissue change? That work was recently highlighted in Crop Science. Then we made computer models, so we could look at forces and stresses within the stalk. So really, what was the main outcome of all that, right? So we spent 4 years doing all these goofy studies, all this weird stuff to corn stalk, right? What did we come up with? Well, there's three real outcomes from all that. The first is that we are quite confident that lodging is not controlled by chemical composition. It's controlled by stalk geometry and by shape. Chemical composition makes a small contribution to stalk strength. Geometry makes a huge contribution to stalk strength. So if we want to focus on improving lodging in our varieties, we need to focus on shape. And I won't get too much into that today because we don't have time to talk about it, because we're going to talk about a little more about this device. The other real outcome is that we created a field deployable device that you can actually go out into the field and without breaking plants, you can predict their strength with 80% accuracy. 60 to 80%, I'll say, depending on what crop you're looking at. And we can also measure strength directly. So this is a quick video just of kind of how the device works. It seems really simple. We just go out there and push over the stock. So anyone can use the device. We've taken all the engineering equations, basically, and analysis, and incorporated that all into the electronics, so it's all hidden from view from the user. But basically, you take the device out there, you push over the stock. It loads the stock in the same way, in a very similar way to which the wind loads the stock. Most importantly, it produces the same failure patterns that you see in a naturally lodged stock. So we're very confident that this is really what I would call an artificial lodging scenario. So we're going out in the field and we're actually inducing lodging, and we're getting back quantitative data where we can rank different hybrids and differentiate between different hybrids or varieties based on stock strength and lodging propensity. So again, I'm not going to get into all the engineering details behind the device. I'll just show this is a result from one of the studies that we conducted last year with Monsanto. We tested 72 of their elite pre-commercial hybrids at 6 locations. We sampled 5 to 10 plants per plot. And basically, we were able to take those 72 elite hybrids and break that data set down into thirds. So we could distinguish the top 10 varieties from the 21 weakest varieties. So we can just statistically distinguish between elite hybrids, which I think has never been possible before to do that with any device that we've had so far, to be able to actually statistically distinguish between elite varieties based on stock strength. Now, one of the things that's really interesting, though, as we began looking at this, is there's a huge amount of variation within a single plot. So these are this is box plots of the coefficient of variation. Apologize for the text size. I didn't realize our room would be this big and the projector this size. But on the y-axis, you have coefficient of variation, and these are different studies which we've conducted at either different universities and in different crops, both in corn and in sorghum. And what you see is that the coefficient of variation for stock strength hovers around 40 to 50%. In other words, a plant is quite frequently twice as strong as its neighbor within a single hybrid. You know, genetically, for the most part, genetically identical plants, we see variation of plus or minus 50 to 100% in stock strength. So again, this is from another study which we've conducted, but This is a two-way ANOVA table where we looked at both hybrid location interactions, and then within plot variation. And what you see is that about 14% of the variation in the study was due to the hybrid effect. About 2% was due to location effect. The hybrid location effect interaction was very significant. But most importantly, 66% of the variation in the study came from within the plot. And so the question is as plant breeders, how do we deal with that? Where is that variation coming from? Is it microenvironment? Is it plant-to-plant spacing? Is it emergent state? Is it due maybe to small genetic differences that still exist within the hybrid? Because what we've seen is that because the variation within the plot is so high, if you really want to get a confident or tight confidence interval around your mean strength for a given variety, you have to have a very high sample size. You may need a sample size of 30 if you actually want to have a real confidence about what your mean strength is of that plot. But if we can identify what the source of this within plot variation is, we can begin to control for that factor, and we can greatly reduce our labor costs on the back end, right? So if we know that much of this variation is due to unequal plant-to-plant spacing, if we control plant-to-plant spacing, maybe we see within plot variation drop down to 30 or 40%, which means we have to sample half as many plants. So just to kind of summarize, we've created the device for confidence working very well. There's a number of future studies now we'd like to look at and address. What is the effect of planting density, of husbandry, of the time of day at which the measurement is taken? So trigger pressure changes throughout the day, which affects strength. We have no idea how much it affects strength or what that looks like. It's never been quantified. Also, how does strength change throughout the different vegetative stages, and as well as genetic analyses. And we've done some preliminary studies in a lot of this, but we're looking for collaborators that are interested in answering these questions. As I said, we're a group of engineers, and we don't put anything in the ground to grow. My background is in developing devices, and I work with plant breeders, and you guys are the growers. So looking for collaborators to help us, interested in addressing these questions. Real quick, the limitations of the device is, one is that we don't induce stock lodging with the device. The device basically puts a force on the stock that's very similar to the wind, and so sometimes it root lodges and sometimes it stock lodges. It depends on whatever's weakest in the plant. And so that's either an advantage or a disadvantage depending on how you look at it, but we don't control for root lodging or stock lodging specifically. We're only able to test about 200 plants an hour, which is an extremely high throughput, so the labor cost can be high. Also, what we've seen is that if we actually go out and do some on-site training with the individuals using the device, then we get much better data back. And then lastly, the coefficient of variation within the plot is very high, and so sample sizes typically need to be higher than normal. 3 to 5 representative plants may or may not be enough, depending on your hybrids. So lastly, I'd like to thank all of our collaborators, especially at Clemson University and Texas A&M and Monsanto, which is where almost all of our experimental samples have come from. And lastly, say if you are interested in using one of these devices, please contact either myself or Douglas Cook. As I say, we're always looking for collaborators. With that, I'll go ahead and take any questions you may have.